This is Nursing in America. Each week we speak with incredible nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream. This is the second part of a two-part episode, so make sure you go back and listen to part one first.
Let's talk about transportation in Florida, because many international nurses don't realize that when you come to the U.S., there is some public transportation, but not a whole lot. And most international nurses have to drive or to learn to drive if they have not done so. Grace, can you share with us a little bit about what it was like for you when you came to the U.S. and how you managed to navigate the transportation?
Okay, so actually, when we came here, me and my husband, we both had a Dubai driving license. So he took an international driver's license and he came here. So he was able to drive with that for about 6 months or so. And then he gave the driving test and he got the Florida license. So till then, actually buses, it's not very popular here. It's like they mainly focus on the colleges, universities, and certain institutions and such. So it might not be available all the time in different locations where you want. And even the trains are not that popular. But what I heard is like, they're building up or planning to build up a metro from Miami to Orlando, which is a much more faster thing. So that should be there up and open in 2023, I think so. So otherwise, mainly we were surviving with Uber. So it's good to have a car, I would say. Otherwise, you would be spending money on Uber.
Yeah, and Uber can get expensive. I mean, it is convenient, but it can get very expensive. Did you have driving lessons?
I had a driving license from Dubai and my husband as well. So he took an international driver's license and came here. So just with that, he was able to drive around for about 6 months till he got the other Florida license.
And okay, so and did you have driving lessons?
My husband did not take any lesson, actually. He went and directly gave the road test. He was able to get through it. Okay. For me, I did go for, like, I think, two classes or something like that. Then I gave the road test. So it was pretty easy, simple, hassle-free, I would call it. Yeah.
Not too stressful.
Well, that's good to hear. Stressful like how I imagined.
Because that is a big worry.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, thank goodness you and your husband both drove before, but for any international nurse that has not driven before, it can be very scary. Bong, tell us about your experience with transportation in Florida.
Yeah, when we first arrived in Orlando, as soon as we had our social security number within that first week, first 2 weeks, I went straight away to DMV and took the, because you can just walk in at that time to take the theory exam. And I passed the exam. But anyway, you can get a reviewer from DMV, a free packet, a manual. You can just get it from them, review that. So that's what I did. I took the exam. And then I enrolled because in the UK, it's a different side of driving. And I've been driving there for a lot of years. So I thought I might take something like a lesson to drive on the other side of the road. So I took that like an hour, enrolled an hour prior to my exam on a third party examiner, because you can get a third party examiner, you know, the driving lesson schools. They give you exams as well. So that's what I did. They took me for an hour and then I did my exam. And I passed it within that 2 weeks. But I brought my UK driver's license anyway when I came here and I was able to use that on the first week.
Okay.
But buses like here in Tampa, there is a route from the city of Wesley Chapel going to the downtown Tampa and that's it. If you like to wait for hours and hours, then you take the bus. But not, if not, then you must drive and get your own car. We have Ubers, Lyfts, and that's it. They're everywhere as well. But it might be too expensive to have that all the time.
So something maybe to consider initially, but a good idea to try and get your driver's license as soon as possible. I can relate to you driving on the other side of the road, Bong, because I came from South Africa. which follows the British system, which is on the other side of the road. And that was very scary because, you know, you're used to seeing things from a specific angle, and then you see cars and you feel like they're coming straight for you. So it does take a little bit of getting used to, but we all get there, which is good. Is there any Filipino community in Florida?
Can you talk about yes. There's plenty. We've just been a previous weekend into a Phil Fest. It's a Filipino festival. This happens every year. And if you go to Facebook, even if you're not in Florida yet, go to Facebook, search for Filipino communities in Florida. There's plenty of them. They can give you advices too. And I'm a member of most of the groups anyway. So yeah, there's plenty of help around this area. Filipino fast foods, Filipino restaurants, and yeah, it's everywhere here in Florida.
Lots and lots of Filipinos in Florida. Grace, I know you've been there for a very short time. Have you had an opportunity to get a feel about the community and what kind of community there is around for you?
Yeah, actually, we had a lot of support through the church.
Okay.
So, we got connected to one of the churches here, which is my local language church. So they were of big support to us. So we used to reach out to them for any guidance, like whatever questions or advices which we needed. So that was a big support. Other than that, we live in, it's a mix. We see a lot of whites, a lot of Spanish-speaking people. So even the patient population we get is a good mix of all of the communities.
Yeah. And Florida is known for being pretty diverse. A lot of people there from a lot of places all over the world. So it really is kind of like a melting pot in Florida. Barnwood Grace, I think you spoke a little bit about the support that you and the guidance that you have from the community or from the church. Any input about the International Nursing Associations?
I am a part of American Nurses Association. But I haven't reached out to them as such for any support, so I won't be able to answer much regarding that.
Okay. What about you, Bong?
Yeah, here in Florida, we have the Philippine Nurses Association, Tampa. We have Philippine Nurses Association by the Gulf area. We have plenty of nurses, and we have plenty of supports if you need to. You want to become a member. Philippine Nurses Association are everywhere in the U.S., here in Florida, plenty of nursing association, Philippine Nurses Association.
So lots of help and lots of support. And Kinetics have a 5 out of 5 rating on our Facebook page. Check that out and you can see some of the many ways that we help nurses to adjust and settle in and set them up for success when they arrive. How many days do you work in a week, Grace?
3 days a week, 36 hours. That's mandatory. Anything other than that, what we do is considered as overtime. And overtime pay is about 1.5 times the salary, which is very good. And now, because the last one and a half years is a pandemic situation and a very short supply of nurses, so they're offering like extra shift bonuses, like starting from $250, $500, $1,000 bonuses like that. Yeah, because of the COVID situation and shortage of nurses.
Yeah, and the shortage of nurses is really right now very evident in the U.S. There are many opportunities for international nurses, both in Florida and in other states. So if you have not yet started your journey of coming to the U.S. or getting ready to come to the U.S., the first step, as we said, on the success path is your NCLEX. So it's a good idea to get that addressed and taken care of. Grace, is it 12-hour shifts you're working?
Yes, it's majority of the hospitals in the U.S., what I have come to know is they do a 12-hour shift. Yes.
Okay. So let's keep going. We want to talk a little bit now about schooling, about children and schooling. Both of you had kids. Both of you brought your kids to Florida. Can you share with everybody who's watching a little bit about what that was like? Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, so when I came in, my son was in grade 11. He completed grade 11 already, and he joined as a grade 12 student here. We were very worried, thinking it's a pandemic situation, how it is going to be. It's very different because he is used to the Indian syllabus only, and this is a U.S. syllabus, how it is going to be. But we got a very good support system, starting with the principal, the vice principal, the school counselor. They were a big, big support to us. And I think every 3 months or so, we had an opportunity to have one-to-one chat with the counselor just to see how his progress, where he's lacking, what he needs to do and everything. And what I understand is still grade 12. It might be different in different parts of the world, the school education system. In U.S., till grade 12, you have to learn all of the subjects. I mean, science, the history, the geography, English, math, like this, all of the subjects you have to learn till you are in grade 12. When children, they are in grade 11, grade 12 itself, they start applying to different colleges and then they start earning extra credits, like from voluntary work and stuff like that, to gain admission to good universities and colleges. The place where I live in, we have a lot of community colleges and some very good ones as well. So my son completed grade 12 and he's joined to one of the community colleges he's doing his prerequisites now. So we have a very good system. 2 years he will be in the community college here, and after the 2 years, he's automatically going to be transferred to one of the best universities in Florida, which is University of Central Florida. So that's very good. They have periodic assessments, a lot of paperwork to be done. So that was kind of challenging for him, but he got through it. The support system was very good. Yes.
Well, that's great to hear, Grace, because I know as a mother, I came here with two children. My children were 8 and 4 at the time. But I can imagine coming with a child that is older, it can be a very big worry for a parent, because you never know what it's going to be like and how they're going to adapt. Is it all public school or is there private schools too?
There are private schools, but there is fees. But public schools, till grade 12, actually, you don't pay a thing. Private schools, if you have to send them to, but I think they are costly. I don't have any experience with that.
Okay. And Grace, what do you wish you had known before you came to the U.S. about the U.S. school system?
Actually, somebody who had moved here prior to us, one of my friends, she had told us to get a transcript of whatever my son learned till grade 12. So we were able to get a very descriptive transcript as to which subject, how many hours he has covered and what is grade for that and everything. So they were able to transfer some of the credits here. So they considered those credits and they were able to transfer some of it here. That was a good thing. And what, give me some time to think about it.
Okay, we'll come back to Grace. Bong, share with us your experience of bringing kids to the U.S. and what the schooling and the education was like.
Yeah, when we arrived here, our daughter was 13 at that time, going to first year high school. And our son was 8 at that time. There's a big support actually from all over the schools, from the principals, from the counselors, and they were able to adapt very quickly. They were enjoying the first week. We thought that, this is going to be like, no, I don't want to go to school, something like that. But they loved it. They wanted to meet new friends straight away when they went to school. And they've been telling us what their experience are every time they come home. And like what Grace said, because now my daughter will be graduating high school. She'll be going college next year. And she just applied for the Bright Future scholarship here in Florida. So you have to have a certain GPA and community hours, like you can do like 100 or 50 hours. And if you are an in-state student, you can get like a lot of discounts as well in school, or like the FAFSA that Grace has mentioned, you can apply for that. If you think that you need some assistance with the tuition fees and everything that they use in school. And one thing, like right now, free lunch for all the schools. So you don't have to worry about, packing the lunches for your kids. You just give daughter, and, you know, they go to school. And the school system here is brilliant. They're very supportive. If because it's something like a zoning as well. So if you happen to be in a school, in a zone that it's not covered by the school that you like, there's something that they call a magnet school, that if that school that you like and you're not in the zone, you can apply into that. Because some schools, they offer a different curriculum as well. So you can apply for that. But the only thing is they don't cover the school bus. So you have to take your child to school and back.
Okay. So that's a lot of good information, especially about zoning. Grace, can you talk a little bit about zoning? And then Joy has a question about college, because you've gone through that experience. Can you talk a little bit more about those two things, zoning and college?
So school, you have to look at the rating of the school, which is very important. So you can choose a school district where, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we live in Lake Mary right now. And so like how Bong mentioned regarding the school zone, you have to be living in that particular locality or within that school district to be admitted to that particular school. Like, to simplify it, you can't be living like 50 miles away and say that, okay, I want an admission at this particular school, I'm going to drop my kid to the school and off from school. You can't be saying that. So you have to be living in that particular school district. So look out for the school rating when you're choosing to live in a particular destination. Of course, it has to be closer to your workplace.
Okay, so that gives a lot of clarity, because for many international nurses, they don't realize that. And it's really important, especially when you arrive in the US and you're looking for housing, if you've got kids that are going to school, to know that the zoning happens so that you can hopefully look for a place within a specific zone that is allocated for the school that you are looking at for your children.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
Grace and Bond, can you talk a little bit about renting an apartment and how much that costs and how you went about that, or renting housing?
Okay, so when we came in March 2020, so we started living in an apartment from the last week of April onwards. So we did not, that's one of the things which they look at is the credit score when we have to rent an apartment, which we did not have. So what they asked us instead was the offer letter from the hospital and the salary certificate. So with that, I think we had to pay 1 month extra deposit because we did not have a credit score as such at that point in time. So we lived in a 3-bedroom hall apartment, which is quite okay for us. It's like maybe 1,500 square feet or something like that. So the rent is about $1,500. $1,500. Actually, the utilities, water and the very reasonable. We pay maybe $50. Certainly, it's less than $80 in a month for the water, and separate for the electricity, more or less the same. It's $60-$70 in a month. Those are very reasonable.
So very reasonable. One of the most difficult things for international nurses when you come here, especially when you're renting in your apartment, your first apartment, is you don't yet have credit history. If anybody has not seen the show, our Onwards and Upwards show about credit history, please go and watch that. You can see it on our YouTube channel because we have a lot of information about credit and what is it and how to build it, because that can be one of the biggest challenges. Wondering about the housing, which is it better, to rent a house or an apartment, and if so, how much? Bong, I know you've done both. Do you want to maybe give your opinion about renting and buying and what a nurse should do first, and then share your experience of buying a house?
All right. Well, when we arrived in 2018, we rented an apartment in Orlando. We've been there for 2 years. So in an apartment, if you rent if you rent like shorter term, it can be more expensive. If you rent like 12 months or 14 months, it can be cheaper. But just play on to when you, how long have you wanted to rent, or if you're planning to buy a house, so you can, you know, you can get a proximity when you finish your apartment and then buy a house. So comparing renting and buying a property, it's more beneficial and to buy a house, because you're not wasting your money. You're putting your money into like savings, and later on, and you will get it back. And plus, right now, from last year alone, the prices of properties increased by around 24%, and even rentals from last year, it increased to about 38%. From nowadays, you're lucky if you can rent an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, for $1,700. That would be a good price. And if you're thinking of buying a property, you have to build your credit scores. Start with building your credit score, like, you know, keep checking. Don't miss any payment on your credit cards or anything like that, because that would be very bad for your credit history. So that's what you do. You build your credit score, and then if you think that you're ready to buy a house, go and look around and check the places that you like, the school districts, like Grace said. I'll check the schools if you have kids, and you can look onto the niche and you know, refer to that, the rates of the schools. And then if you think you're ready, then get it. You have to get the assessed by realtors. And if you pass with the assessment, then that's the time for you to build your house or buy a new house. I mean, or even a slightly used house.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think general rule of thumb, though, for all immigrants, and Brong and Grace, I'm not sure if you would agree with this, is to rent first until you rent. Because I think immigrating can be one of the best, most rewarding, exciting things you can ever do in your life, but also can be very stressful. And the last thing that you want to do is to buy a house too quickly before you are ready. You want to make sure that you can feel comfortable financially. We have a lot of shows on financial literacy, on building your credit. We actually have a show on how to buy a house, and Bong was on that house and he shared his experience. So if you have not yet seen those shows on the Kinetics YouTube page, please go ahead and watch those. But I think general rule of thumb is always to make sure that you are ready financially before you buy a house. There are a lot of advantages, as Bong said, but that's not something to rush into. And Bong, the cost of a two-bedroom apartment, Grace shared what an apartment cost her in the Orlando area. You've lived in Orlando and in Tampa Bay. Is one more expensive than the other, or are they pretty much the same from a rental perspective?
Well, from that time, 2018, to now, it has drastically, you know, increased the rentals. A lot of people just coming down to Florida nowadays. So prices of houses and rentals really shoot up. From my experience, when we first moved here, you can rent a two-bedroom apartment like $1,400. Around those times, 2019, early 2020s. But nowadays, a two-bedroom apartment can be like 1,800 here in Tampa area.
So there is differences, and this is important for people to understand as well. I live in California. The cost of living in California is much, much higher. The taxes are much more in California than, for example, in Florida. But even within Florida, you're going to have differences. So say, are some parts of Florida that are more expensive than others, where rentals or houses will be more expensive. So you can't even just generalize and say, well, Florida is much cheaper than California. There are pockets of Florida that are more expensive than others. Okay, so the last topic we're going to talk about, which is the cost of living and the taxes. Do you have any advice for international nurses coming to Florida about the cost of living and the taxes that you pay there?
Cost of living, what I felt so far in this last 1.5 years, it is it's pretty reasonable. We can, as of now, my husband's working. It's just me that is working. So we are able to manage. So savings, maybe not much, but we are able to get by, and it's quite reasonable, the cost of living. Yeah. Like how Bong was sharing yesterday, food, grocery supplies, it is pretty much reasonable. We can afford it. Yeah, that is good. Yeah. Taxes, as I said earlier, it's just the federal tax. We don't pay any other taxes. So that way also it is better. It's, maybe Bong can share more about it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Grace. Bong, anything to add?
Yeah, well, we are a family of four when we came here to Florida. And at that time when we arrived, it was only my wife at a job at that time. So we survived and we're here. So you have to shop around. There's a lot of places that you can go to buy, everyday things that you use. Yeah, there is the flea market on the weekends. You've got the Aldi, you can buy fruits and everything that you need, vegetables, meats. If you you have to compare prices as well when you go out. You go to big grocery stores, they're very expensive, taxes and everything. You go to a flea market, you have those farmers who are selling their own produce, and there's no middleman in there, so they're cheap. And there's even a lot of vendors on the roads, by the roads, that you can get your fruits and vegetables. A lot of vegetable stands, like fresh produce. These are real farmers who are selling their own, harvest, and they don't have middlemen. So you get a lot of cheaper fruits and vegetables. You go to Dollar Tree. If a lot of people doesn't know, there's a Dollar Tree. You can buy utensils, school supplies, everything in like a dollar. So it's everything. You just have to shop around. Be wise in spending your hard-earned money. You don't have to buy expensive things that you think that you don't really, really need. And yeah, just that thing. Go shop around.
Go shop around. Some great tips there on how to save money. And I've got to say, I've been here for 21 years and I still love Dollar Tree.
Yes.
Lots of great bargains at Dollar Tree. This was so fun, and I really so enjoyed listening to both Grace and Bong's stories, and hopefully they've been able to share some really wonderful information, guidance, tips, pointers for all the international nurses that are watching from all over the world, and especially those that are specifically eyeing Florida and wanting to come and live in Florida. I know that we've learned so much about the housing, the cost of living, the schooling, the climate. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And thank you, Grace. Thank you, Bong, for sharing your stories. I know it can feel a little scary, but we really so appreciate you paying it forward for others and sharing your experiences and informing international nurses all over the world about living in Florida. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Bong. It was an honor and a pleasure to be part of your journey. This is what we want for all nurses coming to America, is for Kinetics USA to help you to live your American dream. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work here in the USA. We offer direct hire, meaning you will be sponsored and hired directly by American healthcare facilities. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.